This podcast is brought to you by Rebecca Castles of the Rising Dawn series. Do you like violence? Do you like smut? Are you tired of the stereotypical novels of werewolf romance out there and want something a little bit different? Then pick up Sparked Revolution, Book 1 in the Rising Dawn series by Rebecca Castles. Available on Amazon, in Kindle, and paperback. You too can become a sponsor of Stories Are True in the Fiction by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/STTATF or follow the link in the show notes.
Do your best. I remember my father telling me those words. We would sit outside and he would say, "Always remember, son, do your best, but never look down upon others, for we are citizens, we are all equal." As A-class citizens, we of course are the most equal of all. However, I took those lessons to heart and tried to live my life well by those messages. You hear about ongoing conflict. You hear all the time on the news about brave and true citizens putting their life on the line for the managed democracy we so cherish. And you always say to yourself, if I was in their position, I would do the same. But would I? When my son turned 16, the Ministry of Truth gave him his first rifle. The look in his eye. It wasn't excitement or joy like some of the other boys. It was a look of a man, a look of responsibility to the Federation, a responsibility to Super Earth. As an A-class citizen, there was no pressure for my son to join. However, I knew then, as did my wife, that he will do it. He would prove that he has what it takes to be free. He would become a hell diver. We all knew he would pass basic training. However, I implored the Ministry to allow him to wait before being shipped out. He had found love and was soon to be married. Sonia. She was a C-class citizen. There were often those who looked down upon her lowly rank. But not me, for she loved my son. And that is all a man can ask for. Shortly after the honeymoon, he was shipped off to the stars to fight the bug terminated threat. Or so we thought. We had heard of the news of the socialist automatons. We had heard that there had been hard fighting on Malevolon Creek. But we knew this. In abstract. I can still remember that day. A day of joy. And a day of tremendous sadness. I was to become a grandfather. And my son, my heart, my firstborn, died at Malevolon Creek. Long, I pondered. Who was to blame for this? The automatons, the Ministry of Truth. But in the end, there was only one. There was only one who could shoulder the blame. Me. For I had left the responsibility of protecting liberty and freedom to others. I had cheered from a distance, while others made the protection of Super Earth their personal responsibility. And so I stand before you all, today, here, now, above that planet we call the Creek, above that stronghold of the automatons, ready to take responsibility and ready to wrestle the Creek back from the hands of tyranny. This is Colonel Park, commanding the destroyer, the elected representative of family values, all hell divers to their pods. It's time to deliver some managed democracy. Welcome, everyone, to Stories, the True and the Fictional, I am, of course, joined by automaton sympathizer and well-known socialist man, J.A. Brighton. How are you going, sir?
I'm going well. I had that Captain America moment of, I understood that reference. I had to get through the whole thing, but only because you posted us a picture of the name of your ship, and I'm assuming Helldivers, is what you're playing and what you're absolutely ecstatic about. Yeah, that was brilliant. I had no context whatsoever until the last 3 seconds, but...
I wanted to keep it subtle. I was trying to... Like, those in the know, I put enough in there to understand. There's enough smatterings of citizen classes, of managed democracy, of super Earth. I put enough smidgerings in there for those to understand.
Isn't that just like 90% of all sci-fi? Is that those...
Exactly. Exactly. Look, 95 to 99% are those things, and as well, sitting there from his research hub on the moons of Mars, we have of course Dr. Ryan A. Hugh, who is responsible for the amazing discovery that the terminate bodies, once left to decompose, provide A-class fossil fuels to enable the ships to move faster than light. I mean, do you believe? There are some news sources out there, Ryan, so that we purposely let the Terminids flourish in the galaxy so we could hunt them for their fuel. I mean, what do you say to such baseless rumors?
I say send me the names and sources of that, and I would be happily to discuss that in person with them. That is complete and utter false. There is not a word of truth within that. But yes, I will make sure that they are fully compensated, and if they tend to drop off the end of the world, that's just a coincidence.
Again, there would be members of the Ministry of Truth who would come down. Maybe a Helldiver pod would fall down into their backyard and something would happen. But again, coincidences happen all the time. Sometimes Helldiver pods misfire, and sometimes they fall down, and sometimes the troops, disoriented, walk out and start blaring their machine guns in random directions. This is just the truth that we all live by. I am talking about the Ministry of Truth, and I would be remiss if I don't talk about another fellow A-class citizen like myself, Rebecca Castles of the Rising Dawn series, who I wasn't going to announce this too soon, but the Ministry of the Truth has approved the Rising Dawn series to be delivered to every single Helldiver out there right now on the battlefield. So whilst they are fighting for freedom, for the security of Super Earth, for managed democracy, they could also be enjoying the love story between werewolves and experiencing true love whilst they are delivering freedom to the galaxy.
Because, you know, what else is better to fight than for love, right?
Exactly. Oh, 110%.
Exactly.
If you're going to fight someone, there are many reasons to fight someone. They looked at you strangely. They're wearing the wrong colored shoes.
They slapped you with a white glove.
Obviously, the white glove slapping, or a metal gauntlet. There are many reasons to fight, but love is... That's the one that makes the most sense in my mind. What about you, Jamie?
What? Just what? Fighting or love or what are we talking
glove
about?
Slapping.
Glove slapping. Glove slapping. Glove slapping or love slapping?
Has anyone walked over to you recently and slapped you with a glove for a duel?
I did it a few times at work, but it's funnier because we have really dirty, greasy gloves, so it's more like funny. But no, I have not ever been, you know... no one has ever asked me to duel, or...
I think it's a fall of our great society that the dueling arts have been lost.
Yeah, you know, it used to be an Olympic sport.
See, I think they should bring it back.
They put it as one of the options that you can have for the death penalty. You know, you can die by lethal injection.
Or by
you can
pistols die by at dawn.
Or pistols at dawn.
I do like that. Pistols at dawn.
There was some guy a couple of years back who wanted to do a custody battle with his ex-wife, but Game of Thrones style. So they're like, have swords and stuff. And he's like, and he's going through all the legal stuff. And you think he's insane, but he's just like, well, it's actually never been ruled out in America. it's been, or something like that. Or has it ever been ruled out in England? So you could still technically do trial by combat.
Wow.
That's amazing. Now, speaking of amazing things, Jamie, what have you been up to this week?
Well, work has been dead, so I've had a lot of free time. But so I'm rewatching Scrubs. I'm about halfway through already. Mm-hmm. I just found out that the best Ninja Turtles TV cartoon series is on Prime.
Nice.
2003 series. So I'm all over that.
That is, the creme de la creme of turtle series.
They've just put it up recently, have they?
Yeah, well, they must have, because I heard that the 80s series was up there or something, and that's what I went on for. And I typed in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the first thing that came up was the 2003 one. I went, yeah, that's better.
So if you need another reason to get onto Prime, seriously. Yeah.
Well, everyone has Prime. Everyone's got Prime.
Yeah. Yes. There's that, but also, and Ryan will back me up on this, Season 3, Resident Alien, phenomenal.
I haven't watched the latest episode, but I'm pretty in, so I'll be watching the latest episode this afternoon.
Alan Tudyk is so good. Like, yeah. They've really amped up the comedy and...
You know, definitely.
You know, he's intelligent, but when he's on Earth, he's dumb. Like, that kind of... He doesn't get... Still doesn't get the culture and how things... humans react properly and all that, and yeah, he's just Alan Tudyk makes that show, honestly.
Alan Tudyk, yeah, that show would be very different without Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, because they actually said that when he auditioned for the show, they said you got the part, but we're gonna have to do some tweaking.
Yeah, it was like, you're the part, we're now a comedy. All right, let's go. Yeah, we're gonna.
I think it was always going to be, you know, some element of comedy in it. Like even the the comic book is so different, in tone, pretty much. Like it's more of like a subtle humor, and he learned to in the comic he learned to speak English by reading books and all that stuff. He's a fan of the old mystery, you know, murder mystery novels and all that. Mm-hmm. But then in the show he was a fan of Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Like that great episode in the first season where he's like, where they're like, oh, so you're originally from New York. Like, tell us about New York. Well, there is law and order. I really hope they get another season, but we'll see. It's the Chuck thing, Chris. Remember our Chuck? Mm-hmm. Hanging on for dear life. Oh, you got renewed. Hanging on for dear life. Oh, you got renewed, you know.
That's the worst when that happens, but it's also I'm actually surprised it keep going given how the state of the industry and the state of how everything costs. I'm surprised it's a testament to how poor the channel's doing that they're allowing the show to continue on.
Well, apparently it's season 1 and 2 are on Netflix in America or another, you know, not Australia, but in another. So it's you know, they're catching on slowly. It might have the what happened with Community, how they just got to the last season that brought it out on a different, you know.
That happened to the other show that they put a lot of effort into, which the name eludes me, then went to Amazon Prime. Sci-fi show. Jeez, why is my, I love that show. The hell? Wow. That's really bad.
Welcome, Chris is drawing a blank.
I love the show. I've watched it a bazillion times, and it was on like the Sci-Fi Channel. But then they just said I couldn't do it, and they moved it to Amazon. Extraction. That's the one.
The one with the all the actor guys.
Yes.
The Punisher dude.
Oh, Thomas Jane.
Yeah, it was Thomas
Jane. Are you talking about The Expanse?
Yeah,
Expanse.
That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah. I only know that because Steph watches that. She watched it every year.
Yeah,
it is such a great show, and it is a perfect example of I'm going to say this. It's going to be somewhat controversial. It's the perfect example of how actual space battle would take place in terms of how the ships work, what you'd actually do if you wanted to fight space in a space battle. It's also why you should never do it in sci-fi because it's rather boring. It's cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but
It's for super nerds, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, and they also, like, and it's pretty funny, they actually dispel the myth, they actually did, obviously did the science where, like, you know, the ship gets punctured, you can't be sucked through a hole that's tiny. That's just not how, that's not how space works. So you know what happens when the ship gets punctured in the middle of the middle of the battles? They get a book and they place the book over the top of the hole and that's it. It stops. It's done. Because the surface area is wider than the hole.
Yes.
That's it. That's stopped. And I'm going like, oh yeah, that's literally what would happen. It's just, it's like,
there's not that much power in the
hole. I know. And it also, but it's disappointing because it's like, I'm so used to seeing people being sucked out.
It looks cool. Getting sucked out looks cool.
I know. But again, still, great show. Also, they got the whole space language, the Beltalawa language, and that's still like, it's so cool. Anyway. So, Jim, you were saying something about something?
No, I pretty much finished my thought.
All right, well, then move on to Ryan. Ryan, what have you been doing with yourself this week?
Not much. Watched a couple of movies. I watched The Creator about AI taking over the world, which is a very good movie. So it's like, am I watching a documentary 20 years down the track or am I, you know, watching it for real? But that was a good movie. I've been watching, lots of wrestling, of course, especially with the build-up to WrestleMania and in 30 days. So I'm really looking forward to that. I've been playing a whole bunch of old PlayStation games that have been on my backlog for a while. So I'm currently about a quarter of a way through Legend of Dragoon, which was a really good PS1 game.
Oh, yes. Very difficult, though.
Yeah, so I started playing it when they first dropped it on PlayStation Plus, but I got distracted by other shiny things. Mm-hmm. And now I've actually starting to put the effort into it and, you know, master everyone's arts and additions and stuff like that. And it's a really good story. So I'm up. It was four discs on PlayStation 1. I think I just finished the first one before we started recording. So, and I was lucky enough to, and if my dad is listening, thank you very much. My dad came down and watched me do PT last week. He was very impressed and asked me if there was any games he wanted me to buy him. And it just so happened that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth was out. And I said, please, Daddy, can I have this one? I've played a bit of it, but it's because I'm not at home at the moment. The internet here is not that great. So it literally took... To do the update, like the download update, it took overnight, like a full 24 hours here.
Oh, damn.
So I've been able to play a bit of it. I've gotten through the initial chapter, which is the retelling of what happened at Nibelheim with Sephiroth, which is one good thing I will say about this game. You get to play as Sephiroth, which is just for that flashback, you get to use all of his powers, all his moves, all his magics, and it's just not fair.
You got to do that in the first game too, with the original game, but it was turn-based, so you hit an enemy, they would die instantly. And
but that was only really for one or two battles. Get to use it for the whole chapter until he goes mental and burns down the village and murders everyone. You get to play for the whole chapter. So all through the Mount Nibble reactor and everything, which I've expanded. That's what I like about these games and people don't. They basically take the story and they've expanded on it. So things in the initial Final Fantasy VII game, which may have been like a 5-minute scene, they've gone, let's explore that more. And a conversation I had with Chris yesterday, one of the big pet peeves about the whole Nibelheim scene is Cloud's telling the story to the group, including Tifa, who was there at the same time. And she very well knows that Cloud wasn't there.
But he was lying out of his ass.
But in the game they don't really address that in the initial game. But in this game, after Cloud's finished telling the story, she goes off with another character and has a whole conversation about Cloud not being there. And she goes to confront Cloud about saying, "You do realize that wasn't actually you. You weren't there." But then Cloud, they get distracted by, you know, the town being raided by Shinra soldiers. So they acknowledge it a little bit more, saying, "Hey gamers, we know you're not stupid." Like he wasn't there. That was Zach, and they actually acknowledged that a little bit more. So I'm about 3-4 hours in so far. Yeah. But hoping to put a little bit more in.
You see, Ryan. Though that is why Tifa is Cloud's ride or die, because she sat there whilst he's telling the story and going, he wasn't there. I'm going to say nothing. I'm not going to I'm not going to insult Cloud. I'm not going to, and just let him go tell his lie. Because, you know, that's the kind of girl you'd want. Someone that's just going to say, hey, this is my man's blatantly lying. It's okay. I'm just going to sit here and just, you know.
As to what you were saying yesterday, Chris, the first game, which was Remake, and this is Rebirth, and then there's one more coming out in 2 years, that as you said, Cloud's obviously, his memory and brain is completely and utterly, it's devastated. Like, he continually has flashbacks and sees things that are not there and all these kind of things. She's also thinking about, if I say something, is that going to completely mind fuck him and he's just going to go off the deep end, you know what I mean?
Because you remember the scene when Cloud does go fucking nuts, right? Yeah. And Tifa has to go into his mind and piece together who Cloud was. She had to go find all the Cloud little tiny pieces, and then she had to go hang out with like little tiny Cloud in his mind, like child Cloud, to go help child Cloud find all of the remnants of actual Cloud and sort of bring him back. Like, that was such a powerful scene. And I actually can't wait to see them do that with like some kind of budget to actually see how you do that.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's what I was saying. I was saying to Steph when I was playing it, like, playing this is, even though it is a little bit different with the graphics and the processors and everything they have now, it's a beautiful game. It looks absolutely amazing. And a lot of people are whinging about, like they did when Remake came out, it's not turn-based, but I mean, we've all played Final Fantasy 16 and we're used to that battle system.
It doesn't affect
the game for me at all, because you still have access to your menus to use your materia and stuff like that. You still have access to use your limit breaks and use your moves and stuff like that. It's just you've got to be more creative and you've got to be more structured in how you're going to do it, because it's not going to do the whole thing. And we've spoken about this before where, hold on, I'm just going to take my time and pick my move while the enemies are just standing there doing nothing. They're just going, okay, we'll just wait for you to choose, and, you know, we're not going to attack you. Whereas obviously action, you know, the way it is here, you're getting constantly attacked while you're trying to pick your commands and everything. So I guess I'm used to that now. But they do it very well from the couple of hours that I've played. And the scene, I mean, even in the first Final Fantasy VII, the scene where Sephiroth just loses his mind and burns the village to the ground is so much more intense, because you're actually running through the village while it's burning. You're looking for your mother who lives there, and you realize she's dead. And you actually see Sephiroth taking out like the mayor and Tifa's dad and all of this kind of thing very viciously with his sword, and they don't really hold back on that. So it made that scene so much more powerful than what it could have been. So yeah, I'm in. Like, I can't wait to spend 50, 60, 70, 80 hours into this game. Yeah. That's about it for me this week.
I think you all know what I've been doing this week. I have obviously...
It's very rare you post on Facebook or Instagram. So when Chris posts something on Facebook, you take note.
Yes, I have been liberating the galaxy by delivering red hot democracy from the barrel of my gun.
And then he's been going home and playing video games.
Yes, exactly. And it's really fun. So it's a great game, Helldivers. So, and it's the one thing that people like about the game is obviously there's actually a sense of community, because it's not player versus player, so no one's like, you're not trying to completely grief each other, but and you're all looking at the same galactic map and you see systems fall. And the reason why I decided eventually to jump in because Malevolon Creek fell, and that was, you know, that became the biggest, I'm not sure like if you guys are on the internet much, but like the amount of like shorts, memes, videos of the fall of the creek was significant on my streams. That I was like going, I can't stand idly by and watch whilst we let these socialist robots undercut our freedom and democracy with our managed democracy. And so I was happy to sign up and join and dive as a hell diver. I've sunk about 18 hours now, I think, currently into hell diving.
Oh, wow.
And there have been times where my phone's blared because the Discord server is a message has been sent out, and a key planet has fallen when I've woken up at then 1 a.m. in the morning, grabbed my controller, and headed to the pods and dived down into that world to liberate it. And the greatest thing about the game is, well, it's satirical in nature in some of the sense, because obviously Super Earth is a democracy. Yeah, shut up. there's one line that I laugh where, like, you're talking to this random crew person, and she goes, oh, the Terminids, like the bugs, they are such rapid expansionists. They appear in every single world we colonize. I'm like, and it's like, yes. And there are so many like ads about going, you want to become like an A-class citizen so you can be the most equal amongst your fellow citizens. And they talk about the system called managed democracy, which is like the greatest form of democracy ever, because it's, you take a questionnaire, you answer what you'd want from a government, and then the system picks the government for you. Managed democracy. And it's like, the guy is like, oh yeah, I can see no way that could be abused or in any way, shape, or form. And what I mentioned about the bugs is true. They found out the bugs were such a useful source of fuel that they wiped out all of the bugs in the first game. They took some back into a lab, and then lo and behold, they weren't producing enough in the lab. Then, oh my god, it's a swarm. It's taking over the galaxy again. Oh no, like, oh, you got to go out there and got to put them down. It's like going, okay, you let them out because you needed them to grow a bit more to get some fuel. But either way, it's a great game, and it's the game that I think the community is really like. Most times you play a game and it's just like, oh, it's fun. But you see all the comments of people when they post held over things, everyone's in on it. Everyone's going, well, it sounds like you just, like, you know, when people say the game is hard, people are saying, it sounds like you're, I should call my liberation officer and report you for your lack of freedom and your lack of, it's like you don't have enough democracy in you. And everyone's in on the joke. It's just fantastic. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play.
Is it an online game?
Online game, so you're a squad of four. You can play solo if you're a suicidal maniac, but yeah. But the thing is also there's difficulties, so you can choose an easy mission. You can actually like just scale the missions up. So there's easy all the way up to like Helldiver, which is basically like a scale of difficulty. And if you want to just jump in by yourself, you can play easy, and you can play most game missions by yourself on easy because it's easy. When you switch to medium, you can do it by yourself, but it's a bit harder. But you need a squad. Once you got the challenging, and once they start dropping like bio titans and these other monsters at you, you kind of need a squad to survive.
Mm. Yeah.
But the thing, it's one of the best shooters I've played in terms of, it's a third person game, so it's a third person shooter. But it's one of the best games about guns that I've played in a while, because one, you don't have infinite ammo. You don't have like 300 bullets.
Mm.
You have 4 clips, which means if you shoot and then reload, congratulations, you've thrown out a full clip of ammunition because there's so many.
You know, the Doom or the whatever where you used to just reload, it doesn't matter, you've still, it just tops up. Wow.
You got clips. And so there are so many people who really go like, fuck, oh no, because like you're just throwing away ammo clips.
OCD people like me, even if I just use one bullet, I always reload.
Oh, you would struggle with that because you have to really train yourself out of that because, like,
oh wow,
like, but the best thing about it is also is friendly fire is on always.
Oh god!
If you have to coordinate with it. You have to basically ensure that there's no one, like, you can't just run it back and forth in front of your squad because if they're shooting their guns, you're dead. Yeah. And so you have to really you have to really like be careful about, you know, it's like you would do in any actual war. You have to watch your lines of fire, and you have to be aware of your about situational awareness of where your squad is all the time. I played with our friend Mike, and I almost killed him about 7 times because he's running around.
I was going to ask that. Have you played Mike yet?
Yeah, he's claimed, he doesn't listen to the show, but it's fine. He claimed that there was a squad that was just trying to kill him on purpose. So I'm like going, I don't think that's the case. I played with him a few times. I have very good trigger discipline. I almost killed him about 7 to 8 times because he just kept running in front of me. Just like physically, I was going to throw a grenade to a location, and he would run to that location because that's where the objective was. I was going like, okay, grenade away. I was like, oh my god,
like, running across the battlefield going, why is everyone trying to kill me?
Yeah, he's physically running back across objectives going, being like, why are you, why? Like, the dropping was like going, I think it's because you're running across the battlefield. I think that's why you're being killed. But having, like, it's, one of the crazy thing is, Sony underestimated this game's launch. They thought it was a good game, but they did not expect the amount of people that would be playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine, because I heard bad things about the servers on day one.
Oh, the servers on day one just died. Like, to consider this, at any one given time around the world, there is about 300,000 to 400,000 people playing at any given time. And the number stays consistent, as in, like, yeah, some people log off, some people log on. So at any given time, there's about 300,000 to 400,000 people playing the game. It's like going, and so they were saying, yeah, we didn't, and they have a DM system. Where there's one person pulling all the strings of the enemies, like commanding them to go places, don't tell them to do things. And they said that their system really didn't anticipate this many players, so they had to really go back. They had to go back and like configure it. But like I said, amazing game. I'm very much. I really want to play Final Fantasy, but liberty and democracy requires that I at least stomp out some more bugs before I switch over. But I also want to talk about a movie I saw, which I enjoyed thoroughly. I'm not sure if it's one you guys seen. It's called Legend, with Tom Hardy.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
I know it. I've never. Is that not older one?
It's on Netflix. It's in 2015.
Is that the twin one?
Yes, the Cray twins, and he plays both twins. And what an amazing performance he does as both twins.
You mean they couldn't find another actor that looked like Tom Hardy to play another Tom Hardy? They actually used Tom Hardy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, there was a twin film that used both Tom Hardys.
Yeah.
One of the twins is the smart one, like the sophisticated one, who's like the intelligent one. And one is like a psychopath. And he's like full, just like literally the doctors declared him like literally like he's mentally unhinged and unstable. And he plays them so differently. It's very clear you can see which one's which, and it's such an amazing performance from him. Just a really, but like, not to be mean against British crime, but these are the two of the biggest British crime lords. But you compare to what they did to like Al Capone and others, and you're like going, oh, that's so cute. Oh, look at your little like protection rackets and things. Oh, that's so cute. But
Chris, the British are better at doing things on a larger scale, aren't they? Like conquering other nations and colonizing.
Colonizing.
If these twins went out and colonized, probably be, you know, oh, far I'm
sure
better,
they, right? Yeah. The British are different. They're skilled at different things. Also, the American gangsters are like, yeah. But having said that,
was there much tea drinking in it at all?
Dude, okay. There's a scene where they're all sitting around a box of tea, opening it up and then going, Sniffy going, well, that's just lovely, isn't it? Oh, you can savory flavors. Oh, that is just beautiful. Thank you for this gift. I'm going to send this to my mum and she's going to love it. And like, there's Jamie, if you don't think there's tea scenes in this English film, you're fucking bonkers. Even quips about not preparing the proper tea and like, oh, if you don't think there's tea mentionings in this film.
It's on my list now. I'm gonna have to definitely go watch it.
Yeah, definitely worthwhile. It was really surprising. And it also has that guy in it that we like. What's his name?
that guy we like, Henry Cavill.
No. What's his name? He's like David Thwillis. David Thwillis.
Oh, he's Australian. David Wenham.
No. The guy that looks like David Wenham, but isn't David Wenham.
All right, let's Google.
David Wheeler. That's it.
Google the guy that looks like David Wenham, but isn't David Wenham.
As soon as you see his face, you'll recognize.
Yeah, I will. I'm looking him up right now.
You know David? Who he is. Wheeler. Wheeler. He played Ares in Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. He's also, what's his name? He's Lupin in Harry Potter.
Correct. I think. Yes. And he's been in lots of things. He's also in Dragonheart.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the king.
Yep.
Man, I really wish they would redo Dragonheart, but exactly the same with a better CGI, because that CGI did not age well.
No, it did not.
But it is still a fantastic film.
Great film, though, absolutely.
Ryan couldn't get through it, but because of how bad the CGI was. And that CGI came after Jurassic Park, which still holds up to today. It's just Sean Connery. Sean Connery was born to be a dragon. Dragonheart.
I'll have to check out Legend. I don't think I've ever watched it before. So now that's on Netflix.
I'm surprised that Ryan, I'm surprised you hadn't, because this one seems like something, a kind of film you would watch. You like those lock, stock, and two smoking British films?
Oh, I love those.
Like,
yeah. The Gentleman, Trainspotting, all those ones.
This film. Like, I'm just shocked that you hadn't.
Adding it to my list right now as we speak.
Wrestling probably came out, before then or at the same time. And it was like
2015.
Do I watch? Yeah. Well, what wrestling was on in 2015?
I am only watching WWE at the moment. I am like 2 months behind on everything else.
This was 2015. We're talking about what came out. Is it what
wrestling came out at this time?
Yes, because it's
not about.
Yeah.
Okay, Legend. Yeah, it's on my list right now. Done.
Excellent film. Very much recommend it. It's not the kind of film I normally would watch, but there was this one scene that I watched and I was like, "What
movie's that?" Paul Bettany's in it. Christopher Eccleston, Taron Egerton.
Yep, Taron Egerton's in it. Yeah.
Awesome. Like the dude from Kingsman.
Yeah, basically all the British people you possibly would have seen
the British
film.
All the British people.
Like what you were saying about Avatar. It's every Chinese actor in Hollywood.
Avatar, they were scraping at the absolute bottom of the barrel to find the Asian actors. Like, crap, we've used them all. Shit, we're out.
But does Legend have David Mitchell in it?
No. Oh, that would have been perfect. That would have been perfect.
Love David Mitchell.
And there's actually an Australian in this one too. Emily Browning.
Emily Browning. Oh,
the chick from that movie that was boring.
That movie, yeah.
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch, yeah.
Yes.
We literally Googled the origin of the mop during that film. I can't remember why, but we did.
We did, yes. That's how thrilling that film was.
Yes.
Having said that, she does quite well in this film. She does
awesome. I'll definitely be checking it out. I might even watch it tonight.
That is a great, great film.
Speaking of films, have you seen James Gunn's post he did a couple of days ago?
Of his cast? Yes.
Oh, no, not his cast. It's someone asked him... besides Donna Superman, what are some of your other inspirations for your vision of Superman?
Oh,
and he posted a whole thread, starting with, Donna Superman.
That was Superman 2.
Yeah. But, yeah, apart from that, it's on Instagram, so if you want to have a take a sticky beak. Obviously, the animated series, the Superman family from the Silver Age of comics.
Okay.
Jeff Loeb and Tim Sales, is that his name? A Superman
Sale,
for All.
Tim Sale.
Yeah.
Is that four seasons?
Yeah, a Superman for All.
Ooh. It's four seasons. Yep. I think it's called For All Seasons, I believe.
Yes.
That's a really good one.
Basically, it's a year in the life of Superman.
Yeah.
That's why they call it For All Seasons. And it goes through what he did. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it sounds like it's in good hands. Let's just say that.
Although, there's still one detail that we need to understand about his suit, though. Is he going trunks or no trunks? Is he going to be stupid or is he going to be?
Did he put out like a at the very start? Like he put out a poll.
Yeah, but a lot of people voted for trunks because they're dumb, and I was just looking at them going, "Are you guys stupid? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?"
He'd be the kind of guy to pull it off, though.
I know. I'm going to say it right now, if Superman, a character that I love, a character that I adore, my favorite comic book hero of all time. If he is in trunks in the James Gunn films, I'm not going to go see it because it looks stupid. It is just the dumbest thing you could possibly do in a film.
Tell us about your earliest moment of Superman, loving Superman, like coming to know Superman and go, yes, Superman.
I think we all had the same coming of Superman, which was obviously Christopher Reeve's Superman. And even back then, I thought it looked ridiculous.
Didn't. You were running around the backyard wearing trunks going, Superman.
I have always been one of those people that thought that that was a weird look. I don't know about you guys. I always thought because remember, being a nerd back in the day was not cool.
Yes.
No.
We used to get made fun of for liking Superman. And you know what the bullies used to always say? Yeah, he's wearing his undies on the outside. So that was always a sticking point for the fandom, that we were being bullied because of Even everyone knew how ridiculous that looked. I'm sorry, I understand it's tradition. But you know what else is tradition? Only allowing men to vote. But you know what? Did we just, you know, there's other traditions that existed that we've moved past as saying that was dumb back then. It shouldn't exist. So guess what? This is one of those ones as well.
You heard it here, folks. Oh, I got to change what gift I was going to get Chris for his birthday now. Oh, well.
But having said that, look, I saw the cast. It looks amazing. Casting Millie Adcock as Supergirl, fucking fantastic. Like that girl looks like Supergirl. Yes. Like she, like you look at her and go like, holy crow. How have you not been Supergirl until this point? You are just the spitting image of what it want. Now, here's the thing. Is he going to go with, I think, the 1960s comic where they got married? I think it was 60s or was it 70s comic? But one of them, Clark Kent, does actually marry his cousin.
But in which state?
Well, I mean, does that apply to Kryptonians? You don't know their laws.
Their genetics would be like flawless, so it probably wouldn't be a problem.
Exactly. Because it's kind of funny. It's like going like, oh, woe is us. We're the last of our kind and we can't have any others. Only us two very attractive Kryptonians of perfect age are still remaining in the galaxy. Woe is me. Oh, no. Yes. Oh, no. Like,
well, you know. I mean, you could put the same thing with humanity if you like, whether you believe the Bible or not, and go back to the story of Noah. There was like 8 people after everyone was wiped off.
Thank you.
What happened next?
Those 8 people got busy. All right. Look, again. And to your point, I think with the Earth's yellow sun, there'd be no defects or there'd be no genetic defects on those children.
Yeah.
Think about this. He's had children with humans, with Lois Lane. And the Kryptonian DNA went, fuck you, Earth DNA. I fucking rule this. This is my body. Yeah, he's going to get all the powers. Because, like, you know, that's just what happens.
Yeah.
And we've seen the same in all great comics, like, you know, Invincible, Dragon Ball Z. The children of still inherit the father's gift. This is just the reality of that. Speaking of that, very sad news, obviously. I'm not sure if Jamie cares, but the creator of Dragon Ball passed.
Oh, I saw that, 68.
I saw some extremely insensitive comments from the left, because, you know, that's what they do, criticizing him and his art. But, you know, fuck you and your stupid leftist ideologies. This is a passing of an absolute legend who shaped modern culture. You show the fucking respect deserved of a man of that nature. That's all. I don't get too mad, but that is all I will say upon the legend. I have never seen in my life a crossover event as Goku, where I went to, I think it was Anime Con in like Sydney or one of the cons, like one of the things. And I was there and I saw the Maryland's folk. You know who they all are. Walking into an anime con going, oh, sick, there it is. There's the Goku action figures. Let's go. Oh, it's sick, it's so Goku. And they bought all the tons and tons of Dragon Ball Z merchandise. So I was going, see, Dragon Ball Z is for everyone. What a legend. Mm. He brought anime to the fully sick bros of Western Sydney. And I respect the man for that.
Couldn't agree more.
But do you think, here's a sad reality, do you think, given the state of Warner Brothers and their lack of financials, that we'll ever see James Gunn's film come to light?
Well, they're kind of banking on it.
But this is not a normal...
Aren't they? Doesn't filming start soon?
No, sorry, started.
Yeah, but, you know, like we talked about in an episode, Ryan, last episode, I think... they're kind of planning to use this film to sell, Warner Brothers Discovery, whatever it is.
So they're going to try. Discovery, yeah.
Yes, they're going to try and use his film to sell that. And look, I think they've got a lot of trust in James Gunn. Look, he's pulled it off before. Like didn't everyone think Guardians was going to flop hard? And that was kind of very pinnacle to the whole Avengers, you know, Infinity Saga.
When Guardians first came out, people were like, who are these people? Like, it wasn't the main thing, like Iron Man, Spider Man.
No one knew who the Guardians were.
Something that everyone knew. Yeah. And he turned it into something that everyone loved.
Yep.
So, and we got three amazing films out of it.
Yeah.
And a really good holiday experience.
It also had to bring everything together.
Yeah.
Like Thanos into the Avengers and, you know, unite all the characters are basically around the Guardians, essentially.
But that movie with the amazing line, that line, "Peter, take my hand." Yes. Like, oh, that still just, that still gets me. And, and if you don't think he can't do something when Superman's down his luck and thinks of the words of Martha to get him back onto that fight, if you don't think he doesn't have the talents to have a Superman pull a well of power and animate that shit up and remember her flashback moment, then you don't, James Gunn.
In Gunn we trust, like we've said a million times.
No, look, I want to see that film because I think he's made some mistakes. I think he should have just said, a full reset of the DC universe. Like, I know that he was trying, I know he was hedging his bets to say, like, let's see if Blue Beetle Aquaman does well at the box office.
Yeah.
I think we know the answer to that now is no. So let's just reset. Let's just go.
You know what? It should have been a hard reset.
But I think they still can. I think they can still say at this point, Superman is the hard reset. This is the beginning. Like, I think they can still do that.
Yeah.
No one wants to see Ezra Miller back as Flash. But that's just like, I don't think Ezra Miller wants to come back as Flash.
Yeah.
Based upon how much money they spent on the CGI in that film, they didn't want to do Ezra Miller's Flash. But they respected the Batman too much in that one. That was more of a, hey, we got him back. Like, we got to release.
They should have just done a Keaton movie.
Film, yeah.
Well, look, I watched Blue Beetle and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie. But then I can't say the same for Aquaman 2. I watched that and I thought that was complete and utter rubbish.
Again, this once again proves that maybe that some of these older films, the first Aquaman, other things, still had Zack Snyder's hand on them, directing them. And then without that, when the creator got that by themselves, and went, I'm going to do my own thing, like Wonder Woman 1984 and obviously Aquaman 2. Yeah, like, you know, maybe don't do your own thing in the future. But again, if Warner sells the studio, there's no one to sell it to. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you want to become a Disney? Like, no. Like, you know, just...
maybe you should buy it, Chris.
Yeah. Return it to the fight. Return it to the legacy. The legacy names. That would be funny, but also no. Again, one of those things that we'll just have to live with is that this is probably going to be the last time in our lives we will see a Superman film on the big screen. No pressure. What's the estimated budget at the moment?
It was like $500 million.
Yeah, I heard a rumor saying there was like a $500 million budget for shooting. But if it's $500 million, I'm assuming that's also like the other rumor is because it's so big they're probably planning to shoot multiple films at once, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because a single film at $500 million is doomed to fail. That is just going to fail.
Okay, so I put up a thing. It said $363 million.
But then that's for shooting costs. What's all the marketing budget?
Yeah, well they don't count that. But you know,
fools. You gotta count that. You gotta put the number. You gotta put the marketing into it as well,
no,
or else.
It's but you've always said that no one ever puts the marketing into it.
I know, no one ever does. Yeah.
You know, this is the budget. This is how much it costs to make, and then, you know, you've got to double it or triple it to get the actual
value.
You know? So you got a new there.
So are they saying roughly now $380 rather?
No, well this article says James Gunn's Superman Legacy has a budget of $363 million.
Damn.
Which is big, but then you know if it's a billion-dollar film, she'll be right. But it's got to be a billion-dollar film.
Oh, that's bad though. You know why?
Why?
That's the tax filings of their production value. That's not post-production value as well. What's the
I don't know.
Oh, no, they said full production value. Thank God. I was going to say, if that was just also just, like, filming cost, then not including, like, post-CGI, I'd be like, oh, my God, what is this film going to cost? 363. That's, oh, man.
But it's gone, man. It's gone.
How many times do we have to see the film, guys? Let's do some calculations to save this film. How many times do we have to go see it at the box office to save this film?
Can I just say this time? All right.
737,000 times.
Right.
This time, Chris, can you not book 5 or 6 screenings? I know it's James Gunn, but the last time you booked a movie that was 5 or 6 screenings, what was it called?
The Last Jedi.
I am not sitting
there. No, look, that's a very valid point. I will not do that again. I've learned from my mistake.
Yeah.
But that's still that. Yeah, look, you're talking. Yeah. Ugh, again, this is a huge investment. Let's see what they can do.
This is its last legs. Yeah. If this doesn't do well, we're not getting any more DC.
No, that's pretty much it for the while.
Not for a while.
But for a while would be our lifetime.
No. We'll think it would be like the gap between Batman and Robin and Christopher Nolan's trilogy.
That was a fair while.
Yeah.
But do you really want them to make movies based upon the current comic industry, like the current DC superheroes? Like,
no. Oh.
New 52, maybe.
Okay. That's where I'd say that's the line.
Yeah.
The New 52.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that point is not film worthy. Film worthy.
I mean, there are. It depends who's writing them, to be honest. Look, we got a really good Batman and Ninja Turtles movie. That was modern, you know?
I'm talking about, like, the recent crop of comics that they're releasing at the moment.
Yeah, you mean, like, you know, the last couple of years?
Yes.
No, of course not. And if they do that, they won't succeed.
A little bit of a thing that I found out on the offcut while we were talking about this, Jamie, I don't know if you're aware, but the first issue of Last Ronin 2 is out.
Yes, I got an email for that. I did know. I was saving it for our comic book related podcast, but if you want to talk about it now, that's fine. But also the Last Ronin 2 series, issue 1 sold out completely.
Wow.
So
doesn't surprise me, but yeah.
I pre-ordered it, so I should be right, but, you know.
Awesome.
Going out for second printing.
Second printing. That's interesting.
I stumbled across something, Chris, that you would absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website called henrycavillnews.com.
Oh!
I was just Googling Henry Cavill News because, we don't talk about him enough, and then this website came up called Henry Cavill News.
Oh, what an amazing website.
But it hardly ever gets updated, you know. The last thing they posted was February, and it was just like the post. Look, it's the poster of his new movie, the Guy Ritchie movie.
Oh, that's going to be – look at the cast of that film. That's going to be the most Guy Ritchie film of all time.
Well, there's a dude literally smoking a pipe on the front cover. It's got Alan Richards in it too.
Oh, it has Alan Richards in it. Oh.
Yeah. I might watch it. It looks pretty cool.
It's got Elsa Gonzalez in it.
It's called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
You know what?
What?
I think I want to see this film.
Well, it's in theaters April 19.
Look how ragtag they all look.
Well, what do you say?
Also, Henry Cavill's spy movie came out this week too, Argyle.
Apparently, that's really bad though.
Yeah,
I haven't watched it. I've downloaded it, but I haven't watched it yet.
But yeah, well, Chris, what do you say we go see Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare when I get back from holidays?
Indeed.
April. Yeah, so it'll be after Easter, I'm guessing.
Yep.
But you can also request an autograph from Henry Cavill on this website too, Ryan, if you want an autograph from Henry Cavill.
But how would they get
it? Is it legit?
It would be. No, because, dude, all you got to do is Google fan mail or whatever, and a lot of them will basically, you got to provide like return postage payment or whatever, you know. But it might take like a year or 6 months or a ridiculous amount of time. But most of them are legit. But other than that, Chris, sadly, there is no catgrahamnews.com.
No, I would not. Again.
But there is Cat Graham News. If you want to hear some Cat Graham
News. I do.
Look at his eyes just popped up. His eyes just popped up.
I always want to hear Cat Graham News.
She's releasing a new song, Chris.
About time, too. It's been a few years.
Yes. It's called World Song.
World Song.
Do you remember a song that The Simpsons ripped off way back when? We are the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, she's doing her version of that.
Ooh.
With some dude called Will I Am.
Will I Am from the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, from the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know.
It seems like some dude is the name Will I Am.
Okay, Will I Am played the really bad. Will I Am was in Wolverine Origins and played John Wraith.
Oh, okay.
Teleporter guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So that's the comparison that Jamie understands.
Yeah, that's the only news from Cat Graham of late. Chris, sorry.
That's a good news. More importantly, less importantly, the League of Ungentlemanly that film is partially based on actual people. It's based on a special operations group that actually operated in World War II.
Oh, wow.
Now, they said loosely based on, so I'm assuming they're going to embellish it, not the fucking, wazoo.
They just took names.
They probably just took a bunch of names.
Yeah. Well, when it goes based on true events, it's more accurate. But then, like, if you go loosely based, then it's like 5%, like Eddie the Eagle. But yeah. That poster, though.
Some of the guys in this unit won the Victorian Cross.
How many times?
Did you only win that once? Because it was... I won't say why he won it because that would probably ruin the movie then.
Okay, yeah. He won it for being awesome.
Yes, we'll say that.
For caring for others. For love, Chris. For love. To bring it full circle, he won it for love.
He won it for love. Love.
For love. Just got to hold on.
Chris is Googling very intently at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to find more out? What fun facts can you tell us, Chris?
Interesting. Well, the film is produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, so you know it's going to be a banger.
Oh, okay.
So it's got Bruckheimer, Guy Ritchie, and like they put all the people together.
Awesome. Yeah, that's another good one.
Man. Yep.
Well, there you go. Look, just zooming in on the poster from the director of Sherlock Holmes and the producer of Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, this is. Yep. You know what? I'm sold.
You're sold. And there has not been a good movie in quite a while.
I know. It's been forever.
It has been.
And also, I could definitely join you guys now that I have a ramp in my house, so I'm keen too. I love Guy Ritchie stuff.
A ramp. Skate ramp. Nice.
Now tell me, right?
I have a ramp to get my ass out of the house in my wheelchair.
Did you run down the ramp?
There's no way. No way. Make it down that ramp and fall flat out of my ass. There's no way.
That's an obscure reference.
No.
Hey, guys, go to YouTube and look up Donald Trump ramp song. It is amazing.
Yep, that's
is
amazing.
I think there's also a China song as well. It's China.
Of course, it's a China song.
Yes. Now, do you guys want to do a correcting IGN? We haven't done one in a while.
Okay.
We have three options.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was waiting for it. I've missed correcting my giving.
We have their claim of best TV shows. We have their top 25 superhero movies. Or we have their 15 best R-rated superhero movies.
What about the R-rated one?
Now, I'm taking in mind, this is G-rated for Chris. This is how Chris's rating system. Like skinning children and hanging them on racks. That's maybe a soft M for Chris.
It wasn't that graphic in Hellboy. I did not see the R rating in that Hellboy film.
My favorite time, Chris, where Chris has changed his mind on rating was when we were watching Mortal Kombat and all the fighting and all the violence. You go like, see, how is this even? This should be PG. And then a dude gets sawn in half and you go, okay, yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, that was
I saw that live. You changing your mind. All right, okay.
I still stand by the Hellboy rating. That was too high. It was way too. It was not an R. That's not an R.
Yeah, well, lucky you don't aren't on the board of. You're gonna have fun with this, guys. on this. Correcting IGN. Brace yourself, Chris. Grab the chair because you're going to sweat your head off.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to take a stab at it? There's hardly any dudes in it. Birds of Prey.
What?
Now, just remember, okay, American R-rated is our MA, so it's not as hardcore as, you know. Mm-hmm. That's their number 15. Then there's Blade. OG Blade.
What?
You think it should be higher?
Yes.
Constantine.
Wow, that's low.
Really? That was only an M out here.
Well, this is an American rating, I guess.
It's an American rating, so they rate things differently. The Crow.
That's not really a superhero movie.
Well, they're probably, you know what they're doing. You know, they're probably just going comic books.
They're padding the lineup.
Yes. Yep. Deadpool should be much higher.
That's much very higher. Low.
But then they put Deadpool 2.
They both should be in the top five.
Yeah. But yeah. I think Deadpool 2 should be lower than Deadpool 1. Because Deadpool 1 was just phenomenal. Dread, Chris's favorite.
Get fucked. You get fucked.
What?
That should be up.
That should be the top five. The top. That movie is a fucking banger. That is just. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm so. No. Oh, my God. That was. Okay. Oh, my God.
Joker's the next one.
A bit low for that one.
Yeah. But again, that's like the movie you can only watch once, really.
Yeah, true.
You don't want to. Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Okay.
Which we all agree is phenomenal.
It's excellent, yep.
Kick-Ass.
Yep.
The Kingsman.
Love the Kingsman.
The first one. Getting higher. This next one would be my number one, Logan.
Why is that not number one? I'm sorry. And then your list is invalid if you don't have Logan one.
Yes, Logan.
I'm sorry, I think we
can all agree on that.
Invalid list. Bullshit list.
Invalid. Suicide Squad for some reason.
I think they're talking about James Gunn. James Gunn Suicide Squad. Yes, that's a good film.
Yeah, probably is. I'm going to guess it is. Shouldn't be that high though. V for Vendetta.
Ooh, good film. Good film.
And anyone want to take a stab at what number one is?
What's left?
There's a fair few. Do you want a hint? Do you want a hint?
Yes.
He has done DC before, the director. His first name rhymes with...
Oh, Watchmen.
Yes, Watchmen. Yeah. He put Watchmen as number one.
That should be definitely top three.
Top three for sure. But Logan
should be one.
But Logan one. Yeah. That's just.
Yeah, I'd go Logan, Deadpool, then Watchmen, probably.
But why?
That's solid.
But why is one Kingsman there, and Birds of Prey there, but not the other the second Kingsman film?
Oh, how good was the second one?
Yeah, I'm sorry, like, Birds of Prey should be nowhere near this list of decent films. Like,
well, it shouldn't even be on there.
No. Good God.
I mean, it just goes to show, let's see when it was written. Okay, so 2022.
They had no excuse for that bullshit list.
Yes. I just love how they go, okay, these ones are popular. Oh, crap, we're out of them. Because it's got to be, they're going to be like, we're going to have more than 10 movies on there. Whatever happened to a top five?
Because they don't have the ball. They don't have the balls for a top five.
Yes.
Because that takes some serious cojones to really.
They want controversy.
Look, it's clickbait because they know it's going to be. Look, at this point, they know their shit. And so they're just writing clickbaity articles to say, so people click on them and go, oh my God, you're so shit.
They're basically giving us work, you know, and they're loving it.
But I mean, look, we all know in a few years there will not be media, well, games media anyway for sure. But IGN will die, and I'll be IGN and honestly, die. And I will not weep over its corpse.
Well, you've got enough YouTube channels and you know podcasts and stuff like that doing you know
There are people that you trust and there are people that you don't trust. And so if I wanted, like, you know, if I want a decent, if I want to know of a film, if I think it's going to be good or not, you know, I'll go to Jeremy Johns on YouTube and watch his channel. Cause I think he has a good solid view on, films. And you watch the first 10 minutes, you watch the first like 3 or 4 seconds of his film review and you pretty have an understanding of what the film's going to be like. Cause you're going to go, hey, yeah. This film, shit. Am I going excellent? Bye. So there are so many. I guess you call them personalities out there that do a better job than IGN ever could. So
yeah, well, you know, IGN kind of, you know, when they exploded, what's like 2010, they were still decent.
Yep.
They held, was it around then when we jumped on board and they like had good reviews and
yeah
they're like us, people like us,
yeah. And then they've been there, but again, look, they live in a state that loves shit on the sides of the street, and
you know there's an app for that.
Is there?
There's a poop app for, I think it's San Francisco, there's a poop app where people, I found a poop and they type, put a poop location, human poop.
But if your city filled with shit, drugs, and homeless people everywhere, cleans it up when the Chinese come to visit, not for when the citizens who live there every day, but for when the Chinese comes to visit, so that it looks good for the Chinese. You should, that should tell you all you need to know about your goddamn city. I'm just sorry. That's just like,
oh yeah,
like you're in a dystopian future. And you haven't yet realized it yet.
Yes. Poop apps aside.
But speaking of poop, always remember, if you find dog poop on the side of the street, put it in a bag. Find your local government officials' houses, parliament, and put it on their doorstep. Now, the French have taken this to the next level where they've taken entire like truckloads of horse manure and done that. But remember, people, horse manure is empty calories. Politicians want dog poop. That's where the true nutritions are. Horse manure, it's candy. It's empty calories. Don't give them that. Give them healthy. Give them that good solid dog feces.
Sounds like you're getting very supportive of our local, you know, parliament and the people that run this country, Chris.
I think that they need to have all the dog poo they can have so they can make great decisions.
Okay.
So if we put all the dog poop on their front of their buildings, they will have the power to make the decisions that they need to make.
There's power in the poop.
Not horse manure, remember, empty calories.
Okay. You heard it here, guys. For just $2.93, you can subscribe and poop will be delivered for them on your behalf.
Outstanding.
or you know, you'll open up a Christmas card from a colleague and it'll be, and instead of a gift, it'll be like, a piece of dog poop has been donated.
On your behalf. On your behalf. Jamie, we're onto something. Love it. Oh my God, love it.
Okay. Any final thoughts? Or do you want to talk more about poop?
Nope, I think Jamie, you've come across.
I think that poop discussion is a great way to end the podcast.
Absolutely. And also remember, if you are the last of your dying planet and you are the sole survivor and you want to propagate your species so that your generations can live on, and Millie Adcock is your cousin, well, I'm just saying, do it for the species, man. Do it for the species.
Wow. All right, guys, thank you for listening. You know the D. You know the details. thetrueandthefictional@gmail.com for all your poop requests. Check us out on stories_podcast on Instagram. We're on Facebook, YouTube, all of that stuff. But thank you guys for listening, and remember, the aim of golf is to play the least amount of golf.